Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live all week from the Black Hills of South Dakota. We're in SDPB's Black Hills Bureau inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital radio studio. And it is an exciting day. There's lots going on out there, but my next guests have seen it all with a music camp over the summer. So this is minimal chaos to you folks. So this is the Rushmore Music Festival that we're talking about. Brett Walfish is executive director. Brett, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
And Katie Smirnova with the festival as well.
Yes, artistic director.
Thank you very much. Dr. Smirnova is here as well. So give us an overview of the program, please.
Sure. So we founded our festival. Now we're going to our fourth year, our fourth season. And we were actually doing our doctorates in New York at Stony Brook University, working with members of the Emerson String Quartet. When we moved out, or we came out to the Black Hills to visit, Katie's mother is on faculty at School of Mines. She's a chemistry professor. And it sort of introduced us to the community out here. As a result of that, we saw how inspiring the Black Hills were between the beautiful landscape, between the people here being so primed and ready to experience more and more classical music and art and culture. And you can see it in the downtown here. And that inspired us to have a go at it. And our very first year, we decided we're going to start this music camp and concert series over in at Black Hills State University. And we had just a handful of students to begin with. And we had four concerts the first year with all of our colleagues from New York. And that has led to us now being in our fourth year. Our students come from all over the country. They stay in the dormitories at Black Hills State. And we also have an international faculty that's all really it's world acclaimed and internationally renowned and really wonderful.
So you're in New York, and as you're working on your PhDs in music, where are you from originally, Brett?
I grew up in South Florida.
Katie, you're from?
Originally from Russia, but I grew up in Connecticut.
Okay. And you're not necessarily thinking, someday I'm going to move to South Dakota and follow this passionate classical music career, but yet here it is. And it's, I think a lot of people don't know that about the Black Hills, is really how vibrant that community is, and the education here is. How do your friends from New York kind of, you know, respond? I mean, you're playing with the Emerson Quartet, what did they say? Were there some skeptics? You can tell us, it's okay.
Well, Phil Setzer has been my mentor for the last 4 years, and he's actually on our board of directors. He's been incredibly helpful. He's been a wonderful resource to have, as we started this program. So he's very, very supportive. Our goal with the festival is to fill a niche that is for developing students. Mm. And he really sees that as a very, very important pursuit, because there aren't that many options for developing students in the United States in terms of summer options,
right,
musically. So
when you say developing students, what do you mean?
We have beginner students for whom a lot of options kind of range from Suzuki festivals or very short day programs, kind of what we started in the beginning. And then there are professional festivals.
Sure.
And that is where Brett and I met. So we met at Heifetz Institute, and it was a fantastic experience for us. It's very intense, but you have to be already quite developed in your musical studies,
right,
to attend.
Sure.
And so we are focusing on all of the students kind of in the middle. So before they're ready to go to those high intensive festivals that are, 6 to 8 weeks long in the summer, but they're not, they're kind of outgrown maybe the Suzuki camps or
sure,
orchestral festivals. So.
And one of the things that our festival really focuses on is the solo and chamber music performance.
Okay.
So all of our students have private lessons, two lessons a week, with some of the international faculty that we bring out, and they get to be inspired in that one-on-one setting with them. They have chamber music coachings, again, twice a week, so that they can not only bond and experience music making with their colleagues, but again, be inspired by some of the world's leading performers of today. And then, of course, no musical pursuit is made possible at a high level without time to practice. So we also carve that time out for our students every day.
Right. What's the age range here? Because kids start, you know, violin and you know, they start cello on a little foam cello when they're three, maybe. So how old do you have to be to come to the program and until when?
Yeah, so our youngest student last year was 10 years old. Okay. The majority of our students are in middle school, high school, and early college levels.
Are these kids that you think are going to go on to conservatory? Are these kids that are just want to be better musicians and have a better, you know, experience with their youth orchestras and their school orchestras?
So our goal for our students is to simply give them the opportunities to make music at the highest possible level that they can.
Sure.
If that becomes a lifelong love of music, we're really happy with that because we need music lovers and you know, people to attend concerts and see its value. And if we have students that really fall in love with it and want to go into a professional career, we want to be able to be that resource that helps guide them in that path as well.
Yeah. What kind of advice do you have for those kids, the kids who really want to make it into a career? Can you do that from South Dakota? I know you have kids come from all over. It's not just a South Dakota camp. But if you are living in the Black Hills of South Dakota, if you're living, you know, in a rural community in South Dakota, is it possible?
I think it is. I think you can become a professional musician if that's what you want, living anywhere. Because the thing that you need more than anything else is dedicated time in a practice room. Mm. And if you're willing to sacrifice, you know, that birthday party on the weekends, if you're willing to carve out 2 weeks of your summer to do nothing but, you know, take private lessons and practice and bond with other musicians and have the conversations about music,
Right. Then
you have all the tools that you need. And having a great piece of guidance and a person to lean on for that can almost be, you know, for us, I guess, we find that to be a primary thing. But when you're not in a community that has those resources, taking the time and listening to recordings and knowing what you want and Right. Going for that is the number one most important thing you can do.
Yeah. I think nationally we have so many programs, you know, so many festivals that you can travel to and attend. And I think that is one of the best things you can do with your summer. Mm-hmm. I think when we're in school, you know, our focus is kind of spread thin sometimes with all of the activities. And I think my piece of advice would just be travel, mm. learn, experience, go to concerts, see what's out there.
Yeah. It's worth that journey. If you're a parent and you have a kid who says like, we have to get here, you know, it might be worth it for you to consider. When was the moment that you realized, okay, viola is something that, it's not just going to be, I mean, and honestly, music is a fabulous, you know, mm-hmm. a fabulous school activity to have, even if you put it down when you go off to college, but you kept going.
I guess I had, in some ways, a unique journey towards the becoming a professional musician as my career path.
Yeah.
Because I had all the tools in place. So I started playing violin at 3 years old in a Suzuki program in South Florida. And I played violin. It was just a part of my education, the way math homework is something that you have to do and English homework is something you have to do. I was required to practice every day. That wasn't a choice. It was a part of my education. When I turned 14, I switched to viola. And it wasn't until I turned 16 that I realized that this is my life calling. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I was lucky that by the time I was 16, I'd done all those hours because it was simply important to my family.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you ever resent it?
Not for a second.
No, it was a good fit, and it was just part of, like, reading at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everything else, there aren't, you know, every day of practicing is not going to be a walk in the park. Especially with music, we're confronting, in order to get better, we're confronting the things that we do least well every day.
Right.
And that can break a person down to your core. And when you do that every single day, it forces you to grow. Yeah. And it's that growth that is what makes both of us as teachers so inspired to teach our students, because we know that even if they don't go into music, they'll have that experience of having been torn down, both in a good way, but by their teachers and by themselves every day. And you develop a really thick skin and a really strong growth mentality.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like it should in your head. There's that disconnect between what you think you're going to sound like and then what comes out. I think that's such an important thing about music, that people who don't play miss is that every day you show up and you do that hard thing and then watch the growth of it. Katie, what was your experience like as a child with violin?
Well, I started a little later. I enjoyed life, and I went to playgrounds, and
Okay, Brett, did you play? You played too, right?
I did play. I actually played some varsity sports in school.
You climbed a tree here and it's not like
and
okay, maybe not.
So I remember my life without music. My brother, who's 10 years older than me, who still lives in St. Petersburg, I remember, I think, as young as, I guess, 3 years old, begging to play violin. And I couldn't. My mom wouldn't let me do that until I turned 6 and a half. And so in first grade, I was able to play. And I just, you know, with violin, I think for me it was just 3 hours, two, three hours a day. It was just kind of normal. It was just life.
Really?
It was just,
wow.
That's what we do. We just practice. And I loved it. It was a time that I spent with my mom. She worked a lot. So I loved every second of it. And as far as I can remember, I've always wanted to be a violinist. So,
oh, wow. Let's talk about the camp for sure. So for, you know, because now is, believe it or not, you should be planning your summer camp. You know, a lot of parents are already done planning their summer camp experiences. But where do kids go to sign up? Who is now the time to do that for
your
camp?
Now is definitely the time. If you're thinking about where should I send my child for the summer, if you're a kid and you're saying, where do I want to go this summer? I love music. For our festival, we've made that really easy. It's all on our festival website. So rushmoremusicfestival.org. You can go, for our students, it's under the Music Academy. We also, for our young composers out there, we also have a Composition Academy.
Oh, wow.
And that's all right on our website. So you can go. It's, the application, I believe, was open till the first week of April.
Okay. Audition?
It is. We do require an audition.
Yeah.
Make a recording at home, something easy. If you have a recording with a pianist in concert, that's even better, but it's not required.
All right.
Yep, and we do have scholarships available, and we were very proud to say that last year 67% of our students received some form of financial assistance of at least $250. So,
wow. Do you have the faculty set for the year? Can
yes.
you tell us who's coming and who these kids are going to be able to study
We'd
with?
We'd love to. So, I'll start with violin and make my way down the list.
Now, wait, before you do this, is this different than the concert, the chamber? This is different, or is this the
our
same?
Our faculty who play in the concerts are the same faculty that work with our students.
Okay, so this is the 2018 Chamber Music Concert Series, and then this is the same faculty.
Yes, so our concert series highlights the faculty because not only is it important for us, for the community, to get access to hearing our faculty play, but part of a crucial part of a musical development is to go to concerts and hear the highest level of music making.
Okay, so I went on your website yesterday, and these were not posted yet. So this is the big announcement. This is the big reveal for the
yes.
Rushmore Music Festival. All right, who's coming?
So on our faculty, we'll start with that, then we'll talk about the concerts in a second. Right. We have, for violin faculty, we have Suleiman Takali, and he won Seoul International Violin Competition 2 years ago. We have Charlene Klugel. She's a member of Chicago's Fifth House Ensemble, a really amazing group. For cello, we have Ismar Gomez, and he is part of the Virginia Symphony as well as the Delaware Symphony. We have, and this will actually be his third summer with us.
Okay.
We have Jisoo Oak, who is an amazing cellist based in New York. She plays, she went to Juilliard for classical cello. She plays a lot of classical. She also crosses the genre. She has done a lot of jazz and tango work as well. Mm. We have, for piano, Mathieu Cognier from Paris, an amazing pianist who has won some things recently. Javor Bracic from Croatia. This will be his third summer with us. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is so amazing. It's really, I feel like I'm overusing the word.
Uh-huh.
And then finally for composition, we have actually Black Hills State University composition and piano faculty, Simeon Wasin.
And we have our Dalcroze instructor, Michael Joviala, who we're also bringing from New York City. So, and that's going to be actually the first Dalcroze experience for our students.
Wow.
So we're really excited about that.
This is quite a lineup. All right. So the concert or the music, chamber music concert series then is...
So this is our big reveal of the day.
All right.
We are actually just launching this, or announcing this, I guess, live on air for all of you SDPB listeners, because we were so excited to come on that we wanted to share this with you. So the first week, our festival takes place from July 1st through the 16th. And on Saturdays and Sundays, we're going to have our public chamber music performances. So the first week's concert is called Unrequited Love. And it is a concert focusing on the music of Brahms and then his really complex relationship with Robert and Clara Schumann. Oh. And then our second concert, so that this will be the second weekend of July, is called Fantasies and Fireworks. And maybe, Katie, do you want to talk about this program?
Sure. The Fantasies and Fireworks is really, it's mostly a romantic, I guess, representation of chamber music. One of the most exciting works that we're performing is going to be Tchaikovsky's Souvenir de Florence. It's an incredible piece. The reason why we call everything fireworks in music is because it's really exciting and flashy and showy. So that piece is just so dear to our hearts, and we're so excited to share it with everyone in the Black Hills.
Exciting stuff. Tickets?
So tickets are all available, again, on our website, so RussianMusicFestival.org. If you go to events and then 2018 season, and something, again, really exciting that we're doing just for all of you listening today is through the weekend, we are making it available that you can purchase our multi-concert pass with an SDPB special. So we're going to discount all of our multi-concert passes by 20%. All you have to do is go online, and when it asks for a discount code, type in SDPB20.
All right. You heard it here first. Thank you for that. That's generous, and our listeners really appreciate it. RushmoreMusicFestival.org. We'll put a link up on our website. The code is SDPB20 to get 20% off your weekend passes for those performances. Rushmore Music Festival, again, July 1st through the 16th. Sign your kids up if they want to come and just come and enjoy the music. And it's all in Spearfish, right? Through with the Black Hills.
Yes.
State University. There I go. I blanked it out at the end there. Brett Walfish, Executive Director of the Rushmore Music Festival, and Dr. Katie Smirnova is the Artistic Director. Thank you so much, both of you, for stopping by. We appreciate it. Have a great festival.
Thank you
so much for having us.